Okay, let's get started. Welcome back to Sunday School. I'm going to open in prayer and then I'm going to explain what we're going to do this morning. It's going to be a little different than normal, so hopefully it doesn't scare anybody. Pastor Jim looks a little scared already. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We just thank you for the truth that we have from you, that we can know about you, we can know about your will for us. We can know what's best for us because you have given us your complete word. As we review this morning through Numbers, what we've learned, help bring back to mind the lessons that you have taught us, and just help us to enjoy this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I have kids. I don't know if any of you realize that. Yes, I do. The one thing I always hear, I ask my kids about what they learned in Sunday school and stuff. They'll tell me about their class, and they'll teach the lesson and stuff, and then like Abigail's class, they'll oftentimes do hangman afterwards. I'm thinking, it's so great to be a kid. You can go to Sunday school, you still learn the lesson, but then you get to play games and stuff like that, right? And when you get to be an adult, it just stinks, because all you do is have some guy teach you, and you have to listen to him the whole time, right? So I thought we'd do something different. Since it's a review week, this is a new material, I'm going to do something, and Josh and Thomas are going to remember this, because they were in my teen Sunday school class when I've done similar things. How many of you have seen the TV show Jeopardy? Well, this morning, this is Bible Jeopardy. So what we're going to do, I think we'll divide it into two teams. There's a nice even spot here we can divide. So we're going to put this side, it's going to be one team, this side is going to be the other team. And we're going to play Bible Jeopardy together this morning. And it's all going to be stuff from what we taught in Numbers over the last several months. Here's what the rules are going to be. We'll have one team go first, they'll pick a category and a point value. And I tried to make the hundreds easier questions and the 500s harder questions. So, just so you're aware, they do get more difficult. And then as a team, you can work on the answer. If you can't get the answer or you get the wrong answer, we'll give it to the other team to try to get it. If they can't get it, then I'll have you open your Bibles and we'll try to look it up in our Bibles. And hopefully we'll have time to get through most of this. So, yeah, so we're going to start with by memory and then we'll try to focus on our Bibles. And at times I want to stop and talk about some of the things because there's some good lessons to remind us of. And then hopefully we have a couple minutes that I can remind you where we were at, because we were kind of in the middle of the story, so we can review that for a few minutes at the end. So that's what we're going to do. So here's your Bible Jeopardy categories. Category 1, Exodus timeline. Category 2, who that Bible character? Category 3, tribal council. Keyword tribal here. Category 4, places and numbers. I'm a geographer, there's going to be a geography category. Category 5, they did it again. And category 6, New Testament references. So, let's go ahead and get started. This team first, what would you like to start with? Anyway. Category and point value. Come on. Guys have seen Jeopardy. You know how this works. Okay, Exodus timeline 4. Want to do 100? Okay. So your answer. Remember, in Jeopardy, everything has to be in the form of a question. So I give you the answer. You have to give me the question. Exodus timeline for 100. This is approximately how long the book of Numbers covers. In years. What's your answer? Do you have an answer yet? How long does the book of Numbers cover? Approximately. How many? You gotta talk loud because the air conditioner's on, right? Okay. Give you 10 seconds for an answer here. Do I keep moving? What is that? 40 years, that's correct. Good job. Okay, so your team gets 100 points up here. Okay, this team, what category would you like?
Who that Bible character for 100?
Okay, who that Bible character for 100?
It must be from Chicago, Dad.
The two sons of Aaron who survived through the whole Exodus.
This is the 100.1.
This is the 100-point one. This category gets hard.
The other two sons of Aaron.
These guys show up all the time in what we study. Did you guys be used to this one? The main one. What is that?
Eliezer.
Okay, Eliezer is one.
Issachar, right?
It's close. Ithamar. I'll give it to you because that's a hard one. Eliezer and Ithamar. Those are the two sons of Aaron. Remember, they were the third and fourth sons of Aaron because the first and second sons didn't survive because, yeah, they didn't do what's right. Okay, your turn. Category and point value. Which one? Oh, who's that Bible character for 200? Okay. After the first one, you're actually going for the second one? Wow. Very. The two sons of Aaron who were killed by God because they offered strange fire before the Lord. Pastor Jim, if you were paying attention, just said it. Any thoughts? We'll pass it over to the other team. 5 seconds. Final answer, anyone? Okay, Pastor Jim, I know you know it.
Nadab and Abihu.
Nadab and Abihu, good job. Apparently the way you came up with that, I should have switched those two around, I guess.
Are you adding or replacing?
I'm replacing. Yeah. Okay, so this team's turn to pick a question, pick an answer.
Good morning, God.
For me?
Yeah.
Tribal count for 100.
I think you'll be pleased with this one. This tribe was left out of the initial census, but later got their own census.
Oh.
Right, that's correct. That one's pretty simple, right? Oh, that's right, you do, yes. Who is Levi? Yes, that would be the correct answer. Okay, over here. This team is like... There's lots of good categories here. They did it again for 100? Okay, they did it again for 100. God said these animals when the people complained about the manna. What is quail? That is correct. Remember, the people were complaining, we were in Egypt and we ate all the leeks and the food here, and God's given us this manna. We hate this manna. It just sticks in our teeth and we can't handle it anymore. So God sent quail and more quail and more quail, all from the sea, and it was covered to camp.
I remember those specific complaints
in our reading. You don't
remember? No. That's Sean's paraphrase.
Yes.
That's his paraphrase.
It's a paraphrase, but it's the same. It's the right idea, right? We're sick of the manna that you provided miraculously to us. I remember gave a description how it was sweet and how it tasted good, and they were tired of it. So God sent them quail. Good. Okay, this side, I believe.
Places and numbers.
Places 100. For 100. This one's going to be a harder category, too. but this one might be an easy one. The first 9.5 chapters of Numbers were spent here.
What a sign.
That is correct.
What a sign.
Where is Sinai? I don't know. Okay. What's that? The first 9.5 chapters of Numbers were spent here.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Okay, this team. There's still one 100-point one left? Is that what you want?
As in book and verb chapter and verse, is that what that counts?
Well, it's more referring to the content of the references in the New Testament for the most part. You don't have to take that one. I'm not forcing it on you. I'm just saying there's one of those left. Try one of these other ones. This one's a pretty simple category. This one's not too bad here. Which one you want? Timeline for 200. Good. Exodus timeline for 200. The Exodus happened approximately this many years before the birth of Christ. Anybody have a guess or an answer? Hmm? Nope, a little bit later than. 400's in there somewhere. That's a little bit too late. Before the birth of Christ. I'll let you give one more try at it.
Oh, the Exodus. Did you say the Exodus?
The Exodus.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking. Okay.
The Exodus happened this many years. Anybody have a guess? What's that? Did you say it? Anybody? Throw out a guess then. What's your guess? 2000. A little bit early. Do you want to try over here? 12 and 14 are pretty close. 1600 is actually the right answer, about 1600 years. Abraham was about 2000 years before Christ. Remember, Israel spent about 400 years in Egypt. And so we get about 1600 is about the right answer. Okay, so that was this team, this side here.
Tribal council for
500. These are the tribes to which These are the tribes which Caleb and Joshua belong to. Looking for both tribes, the two tribes that Caleb and Joshua. Hmm? Two of them. Judah. Oh, Judah's one, yep. What is Judah? What's the other one? Incorrect. You guys want to take a try. It's Judah and who? Aaron's not a tribe, but... What's that? Nope, Simeon's incorrect. Let's look it up. And where it's going to be listed in is in the chapter in which the spies were sent into the land. So if you can remember where that is, that's going to give you a distinct advantage. But Judah was good. That was a good answer.
Where did you say we're looking?
It's going to be in the chapter where it talks about the spies being sent into the land, because that's where it lists where the person is and the tribe that they're from. So if you remember which chapter that is, or if you have a nice Bible that gives you outlines and you can look at the little titles of the sections, that helps a lot too. Ephraim, that's correct. Judah and Ephraim. Now think about this. After the nation of Israel divides, and I'm losing my pen here. After the nation of Israel divides, a lot of times they're named by two tribes. Sometimes it's Israel and Judah, sometimes it's Judah and... Ephraim. It's interesting that these are also the two guys, the two tribes that they represent are the two that the nation's known by later on. I never made that connection until I started looking at this. I'm like, wait a second, that's very interesting. I wonder if this has something to do with that. I think it's possible. Okay, good, good. So we used our Bibles already this morning. Good. Now, that was Thomas's choice to do the really hard one. So over here. You look like you have an idea.
No, I was just like, should we share the joke or if I put it like him, that's how they jump.
Yeah, it puts you back in the game, doesn't it? But they are difficult. I mean, I had to really research some of these 400 and 500 ones, so. Any thoughts? Tribal council? Let's do that one. Tribal council for 200. I got 400? Okay. Tribal council for 400. We're working our way back. This was the difference in number between the number of firstborn and the number of Levites for which Israel had to redeem. This is the difference in the number of the firstborn and the number of the Levites for which Israel had to redeem before God.
Remember the number. You want the...
I want the number. So... the difference between...
270.
You're really close.
274?
I could give it to you. It's 273. You're all off by one, and that was really good. I'm going to give that to you because that is a good answer. 273 was the difference. Remember, they had to pay the 5 shekels of silver to the temple or to the tabernacle, to the priest, to redeem those 273 people. And we discussed, you know, which tribes were going to do that because we didn't know where the extra 273 were coming from. But there were 273 more Levites than there were firstborn in Israel at the time. And so that was something that God had them do because it's important that God is righteous and we need to meet his righteous standards. So those had to be redeemed before the Lord. So good. Excellent. Not at first. You're supposed to do it from memory at first. And then... yes. Okay, so this side. Who's going to pick this time?
Jonathan.
What? I got two answers. Who was?
You want me to choose?
Okay.
Let's do, they did it again for
500. Oh. They did it again for 500. Well, let's see, what did they do? In the rebellion of Korah, these are the two things God did to punish the rebels. God did two things to punish the rebels in the rebellion of Korah. What were they?
There was fire consuming the leaders, right?
Okay, fire consumed the leaders, that's good. And the earth opened up and swallowed the rest, good. Good job, guys. Remember here, God set down fire and consumed the leaders. Actually, didn't the fire consume the 250 followers, I think? Yeah. And the leaders were swallowed up by the earth. And remember what Moses said. Moses said, if you guys are in the right, then let you die normally. Let you die of old age or whatever natural causes. But if you have rebelled against God and against his leadership, I'm paraphrasing again. This is an exact word. Let God do a new thing. Let him open up the earth and swallow you up. And what happened? Almost immediately the earth opened up and swallowed them. And then God sent down fire to take care of the rest of them. So he made sure that they were punished for their rebellion. So good. Excellent. This side over here. This side is the indecisive side. They don't want to pick one. It's all for fun. Nobody's
gonna...
Oh, who's that Bible character for 500? This is going to be a fun one. I remember this one. He was Moses' father-in-law. According to what was written in Numbers, he has a different... Yes, and he has a different name in Numbers than what we're used to.
Uh-oh, so it's not Jeff. I was thinking Jeff.
Yeah, that's the name he's given in Exodus, but in Numbers he has a different name.
Okay.
It's still the same guy. He just goes by, they reference it as a different name. I don't know if it's like a surname or how that works. This was one of those obscure ones when I was looking for Bible characters. I mean, having Moses for every answer was not going to work, so I had to pick different people here. Who was the Moses-like guy that led the people out of Egypt? Moses? Yeah, that's correct. Who is the Moses-like guy that... I told the boys I would have a category begins with Moses. The answer would be Moses for each one, but... Have any thoughts? This one is a really hard one. I feel kind of bad for putting it in there, but not really.
But it wasn't much harder, so okay. We've done.
Have any idea? Over here.
You know, I made Michael think it was the one she gave.
Yep. Okay, let's get our Bibles open. Let's find it. It's a very recent chapter we studied, so if you know where we're at, go back just a chapter or two. Do you? Was it? No, that's not the one I was looking for. And I gotta see where it's a few chapters back, actually. Kind of. Let's see. I gotta figure out which chapter I got it on now. Maybe it's back farther even. No, that's not the one I'm looking for either.
Might be all the same person, but that's not the one I'm looking for.
Okay. Well, there's a specific reference where it says his name, and that's what I was looking at. It's in chapter 10. Numbers.
The son who Midianite was his father-in-law.
Yeah, there's a name before all that you read.
Hobab.
Hobab.
But he says that Hobab was the son of
Reuel. Yeah, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. So it's an obscure reference, but it's in there. Okay, so where are we at for this team? 29. Hobab. Hobab.
I'm glad they changed his name to General.
Well, Hobab is one of those names I think you want for your grandkids or something like that. This is my grandson, Hobab. Okay, this team over here.
Abby?
Who that Bible character for?
Who that Bible character for 300? Okay, who that Bible character for 300? The king hired a false prophet to curse Israel. Not the false prophet, it's the name of the king. The king who hired a false prophet to curse Israel. Who is Balak? That's right. It's correct. That one should be one of the easier ones. Really?
You know, the ones that don't write that
chat. I know. I got to go through almost all of them because I think none of them write anymore. Okay. So this one should be an easier one because that's the last one we studied, right? Last chapter. We're going to pick up on the story of Balaam and Balak and the fun that they're having next week. Okay, this team. What's that? It refers to, there's references in the New Testament to numbers, and so it's going to be questions about those. It could be the references. It could be some detail about it. It could be the content. It could be a lot of things. Jeopardy doesn't really tell you always what the category is about. Sometimes it's not what you think it is. So, 100. Okay. New Testament references for 100. Jesus refers to this incident when talking to Nicodemus. I didn't give the chapter because that might make it too easy.
So the incident we're wanting, the incident numbers
Yes. If you can remember which chapter Nicodemus was in, it's going to make it fairly simple, I think. Let's start there. Let's help you along. What chapter does Jesus talk to Nicodemus? There's one chapter, and it's going to be a gospel, so that helps you there because it's Jesus. And it's only one gospel that tells it, so that kind of tells you which gospel, right? It's Gospel of John. Chapter when does he talk to Nicodemus? Chapter 3. Mm-hmm. Let's remember chapter 3.
Yep.
It comes. It's the verses right before John 3:16, in fact. No, he doesn't. I'm not worried about who wins and loses, though. Yeah. What's that? That is correct.
Good job.
Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Just as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must also be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. It's right before John 3, right before the most known verse in the Bible. And Jesus is using this, the serpent in the wilderness, to explain to Nicodemus how the Son of Man needs to be lifted up so that all can see and look at him and put their belief in him. And we talked about this in class when we covered that. So, good. Good answer, Karen. Okay. This team.
You.
300? Right down the middle. Did you say 300?
Yes.
Okay. They did again 300. This is two of the three reasons the 10 spies did not want to take the land. They gave three reasons why they didn't want to take the land. I'm looking for two of them. Okay. The people of the land are strong. I'll go big and strong. I'll say the same thing. And? Yep. Fortified cities is another one there. The people of the land are strong. The cities are fortified and large. And the descendants of Anak are there. Remember the giants. Those were the three reasons they gave when they came back. The descendants of Anak, the giants, are there. Well, it was three specific reasons they gave when they came back. They said, the land's great, they're full of milk and honey, look at the grapes. But, and then these were the three things they said at that time. Oops, I think you're... Yeah. I realized that as I was writing it down, I'm like, oh, wait a second, I was trying to add 300. Okay, good. Okay, you guys are doing good over here. Anybody over here? What category would you like? They did it again for 400. This was the response of the people after God told them they would die in the wilderness. How did the people respond after God said, you're going to die in the wilderness? What did they do? After God told the people, you're going to die in the wilderness, what was their response? It was the next day. I'll give you that hint. And I'm looking for a response as their action. What was their action after God told them, you're going to die in the wilderness now? You're going to wander for 40 years and die in the wilderness. What did they do? Well, they didn't actually complain to Moses at that point. So that could have been an action, but that's not what they did. Yep. So what did they do? They went. She said they came all this way and they couldn't enter, so they'd be disappointed. But what did they do at that point? Could have. Drop it over the other team. Over here, anybody?
They went ahead and attacked anyway.
Yeah, they went and tried to take the land anyway, remember? They turned around and said, oh, we're going to go do it now. Now, a lot of times, think about this, and I don't think I taught this in the lesson, but think about this. Sometimes we say stuff to people to kind of guilt them into doing something, right? We say, well, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to take care of it then. And in your response, you want the person to say, fine, I'll do it, you know? God wasn't doing that. God wasn't telling them, you're going to wander for 40 years just to get them to change their mind and do it. God was telling them, you're wandering for 40 years because you chose not to believe. And the people thought, well, we can go do it now. We'll obey God now. And that's not how it works. God told them, you're not going to do it now. And now the people disbelieving at first, continuing in disbelief because God told them, you're not going to do this. And said, no, we are going to do this. Yep, so it's not God trying to guilt them into taking the land. It's God saying, you didn't believe, this is the consequence of that. And they said, we don't want the consequence, we're going to go. And when you first look at it, it looks like, well, now they're trying to believe, now they're trying to do what's right. No, they're not doing what's right, they're disobeying God again. And so they went to go try to take the land, and what was the result? This isn't for points, so anybody can answer. When they went to go try to take the land, what was the result? Yeah, they got defeated badly. They got, we used to use the term shellacked when somebody got beat really bad. They were shellacked by the other team. So that was for, yeah, 400, so up here. Okay. This side, who's next?
New Testament reference, 500.
I hope you're ready for this. Jude refers to these two events in Numbers in his writing. Jude refers to these two events in Numbers in his writing. He actually refers to three events. One of them isn't in Numbers, but I'm looking for the two that are in Numbers. Yeah. Then he was right on the tip of your tongue. Thomas got it. Yep. So the era of Balaam and the rebellion of Korah. Now, we talked about in the introductory lesson. why are we even studying numbers? What's the point of studying numbers? This whole category is the point of studying numbers. Why are we studying this? Because the New Testament refers to this over and over and over and over again and says, don't be like this. Well, if you don't know what that was like, you don't know what the New Testament authors are trying to tell you. Not only that, but you take foundational principles in the New Testament, many of them are based on what happened and was taught in the Old Testament. You have to go back to the Old Testament and know what God was like, how he dealt with Israel, so you can understand how God is now dealing with the church. Because there's some things that are similar, there's some things that are different. And if you don't know, you're not going to understand what the New Testament teaches. So it's very important. Again, and we've only covered two of these, but you know, you want to know about salvation, Jesus says, just as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, what does that mean? Well, let's go and look at that passage. Jude says, there's rebellious and disobedient people in the church. And they take after, and the first thing he gives is Cain. And then he says, the rebellion of Korah and the error of Balaam. If you don't know anything about Cain, about Korah, about Balaam, how are you going to understand what Jude is trying to tell you? Because he's going back and saying, just like these guys, there's people like that in the church, and you need to be careful. So the New Testament references are extremely important. Anyway. What's that? Even what Pastor Ken has been talking about, what does Paul use to describe how people are saved? Where does he point to say that belief is what saves? He points back to Abraham. Abraham believed God and was accounted him for righteousness. If you don't know what Abraham did, you're not going to understand how to be saved. So the Old Testament is extremely important to us. And Numbers, again, occurs a number of times in the New Testament as a reference point for the authors of the New Testament, say, look back at what happened in Numbers. This will explain to you what's going on now. So I don't want to preach too much on it. We got like 15 minutes, so I want to fly through this. So let's pick a category quick over here. Which one? New Testament 200. Good. New Testament references. Paul identifies the rock that gave water to the Israelites. Paul identifies this as the rock that gave water to the Israelites in the wilderness. Yeah, his rock. What does the rock identify with? That was Jesus who said that. I'm looking for what Paul said. Paul said the rock in the wilderness was this. It did give water, but he gives the application that the rock was... Who said?
Christ,
that's exactly right. The rock is Christ. Remember in 1 Corinthians 10, you might want to remember that reference. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says that the rock that followed them in the wilderness, they drank from that spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. So again, if you don't know anything about the rock in the wilderness, how are you going to understand what Paul is saying about Jesus Christ? It's good to know this stuff. Okay, this side.
Who that Bible character for
400? I love it. Okay. These are two of the four people who rebelled against Aaron's position as high priest. Remember, this is a very specific incident where they rebelled and said, I'm giving you guys a hint too, where they said, well, why is Aaron the high priest? We're all priests before God. And there were four specific people that were mentioned.
Dathan and Korah.
Dathan and Korah are two of them, good. And then the third one is Abiram, and the fourth one is On. Those two you probably don't remember, but that's why I only made you remember two. And Korah should have been somewhat easy because we've been talking about him for quite a while. Okay, this side. Categories are getting low. Anyone? New Testament references for 400. Where am I? This is one of two reasons Paul writes to us about Israelites in the New Testament. So Paul gives two reasons. This is why I'm writing to you. Just give me one of them. What's that? Okay, they disobey, but he says, I write to you as this, and then he says this. He says two things. Two reasons. Israelite was an... Israelite was an... Yes. It does start with an E, Dory. The other one starts on the A, if you want to try to remember that one. But the E one's a little easier to remember, I think. The next letter is X. Dory goes, it starts with an E, the next letter is X. The next letter is A, as long as we're spelling it out.
Example.
Example, good. Yes. Remember, in 1 Corinthians 10, he writes about Israel for them to be an example to us and then also an admonishment. An example that we do the things that they did right, because we talked about Numbers, they did some things right along the way. Right? There were places where God told them something and they obeyed. Good example for us. Then an admonishment, they did a lot of things wrong too, that we need to go back and say, we should not try to be like that. So an example and an admonishment. Okay, this side.
Did it again for 200.
They did it again for 200. That clears that category? It's a daily double. No, we don't have any of those. Okay. This person contracted leprosy because of complaining against Moses.
Who is Miriam?
Who is Miriam, correct. Remember, it was Miriam and Aaron who both complained against Moses. Only Miriam contracted leprosy. The more I think about it, I think it's because Aaron was the high priest, and for the high priest to be leprous would have been a bad thing. So I think God just...
Can you imagine the fear that came upon him when he found out his sister had leprosy, and he was part of that?
Yes, and you see that in the passage, too. He, like... turns tail really quick and like, oh, wait a second, I'm wrong, sorry, please, don't do anything. Yeah, so he, but it was Miriam who was the one who contracted leprosy. Okay, over here. Only a few more categories left. Everybody's staying away from my places and numbers. You want to try that one? 200? 300?
500 now.
Okay, places, numbers are 500. This place was named because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and the Lord was hallowed among them. It is also a place where Moses struck the rock the second time. Sometimes it's preceded by the waters of
Meribah.
Meribah, correct.
Good job. I thought we were going to give that 500 away.
Good job. That was awesome. Okay, back over here. Yehoshua. Places and numbers for 300. The land which refused Israel entry, so Israel utterly destroyed them. The land that refused Israel entry, so Israel utterly destroyed them. There's two lands that are just... Yeah, we did. There's two lands that refused Israel entry. One, they bypassed. The other one, they utterly destroyed the people. Do you guys have an answer? This was fairly recently. This was only a few chapters ago.
I wish you would do that.
5 seconds over here.
It starts with an A.
It does start with an A.
And
well, you're on that A.
Who is the Amorites?
Amorites is correct.
Wow.
It was...
See, close your eyes.
Yes, but it's described as the land of the Amorites. That's how the Bible. Anak would also be another way they describe it. It was given two names, Anak or the Amorites, but the Amorites was one I was actually looking for, so that's good.
So are you taking points away?
Or? Yes. I'm giving the other team a chance here. Come on, guys. Okay, over here. One more 500 left.
Oh, go for it.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Exodus timeline for 500. This is the amount of time which Deuteronomy covers. Because in the introduction class, I gave a whole outline of the whole Exodus, and I put in there. It does count. I'm the teacher. I can make it count as I want to. The amount of time that Deuteronomy covers. Now remember what Deuteronomy is. Deuteronomy is three sermons by Moses. So if you come up with like 60 years, I'm going to slap you, okay?
What?
If you say 60 years or something long like that, I'm going to slap you. Deuteronomy is three sermons of Moses. So how long was Deuteronomy approximately? A month is correct. There we go, yeah. That was awesome. That was a good answer. Yep, Deuteronomy's short. Remember, Numbers is 40 years. Numbers were stretching a long time. Then you get to Deuteronomy, and it's like a month. It's just right before Moses dies. So not much time at all. Okay, over here. Who's next?
Tribal Council for 200.
These are the people who were included in the special Levitical census. I'm not looking for the Levites. I'm looking for what group of the Levites were included in the special Levitical census. What was it?
Men over the age of, I said 29, but it's not 21.
That's close, but it's incorrect. Oh, it's half right. I should say it's not really close. It's half right.
Oh, yeah, men.
The men part is correct, yes. So this side, what do you guys think? Who was included in a special Levitical census? Men, and I'm looking for an age range.
21 to
50? Nope, sorry.
Oh, I don't think that's the other. That's the other census.
30? Any guesses?
30.
Incorrect. The Levitical census, remember, was from a month old and above.
Oh.
So, yes, it was a month old and above. And remember the purpose of the Levitical census. One of the main purposes was the Levites were going to replace the firstborn. And so God was counting the number of Levites, and then he was going to count the number of firstborn. So he needed all the Levites, not just the men of 20 to 50, which is what the other census was, the men who could serve in the army. So, yep, so, okay. Well, it's noon. Let's move through quick. Whose turn is it? This side over here. A couple 400s left. Okay, timeline for 400. This is how long Israel spent in Egypt. I'm going to accept one answer because I said it, but it's not the most correct answer. Yep, it was 430 was the actual full right answer, but 400 years is what I said earlier, so I'm going to accept that one. Okay, over here. Tribal Council for 300. This tribe was the first tribe to leave the camp as Israel moved from place to place. Who led the way when Israel led the camp? Remember we had the diagram, and the north, south, east, west, and we talked about they camped in this direction, and then this tribe went first, and then this tribe went second, then the Levites and the tabernacle went in the middle, and then this group first. Judah is correct. Good job. Judah, good. That's a good answer to go with. Levi or Judah in this category are probably two of the best answers to go with. Over here. Okay. They're going to play to their strength over here. Okay, this is how long Israel spent at Mount Sinai. Is Ben gonna get this answer here? I'm gonna give a plus or minus 6 month tolerance to it.
What did you say? Would you give us a clue?
I said that I'll give you a little tolerance on it, about plus or minus 6 months. How much? Okay, it's a little bit less than that. It was 1 year and 2 months, but that's within that 6 month time frame, so I'll give that guy to you guys. Remember, in chapter 10, it says in the second year and the second month, they moved out, so about a year and 2 months. Okay, over here. We only got three left. Places and numbers for 400. Okay, where are we? This place to the south of the land of Israel is where the tribes camped when the spies entered the land. So where did they camp when they sent the spies into the land? Kadesh, that's correct. So that's another 446, is that right? You're watching the score better than I am. Okay, two more categories. Do you want places and numbers or New Testament references?
New Testament for
300. Okay, New Testament for 300. Now, if you were paying attention the whole time I've been talking, this should be really easy. This chapter of the New Testament refers to at least four different incidents in Numbers. This chapter of the New Testament. So I'm looking for the book and the chapter. I've actually said it out loud at least twice that I know of, and maybe more than that. What was that? And chapter? First Corinthians was the right book. First Corinthians. And you got 15 to choose from, so it's, you got a 1 in 15 chance here if you're guessing. But I've said it at least twice. What was that?
10.
10 is correct. That was a 300 point question. First Corinthians 10, this is where Paul talks that all have passed under the cloud, all passed through the water, all have eaten the spiritual food, all have had the spiritual drink. Yes. So you guys get the last one, places and numbers for 200. The land which refused Israel entry, so Israel went around them.
Edom?
Edom is correct. It's funny when they were over here complaining, oh, I know the one that they went around. I'm like, that's a question. If you would have picked the right one, you could have. So good job. Good job. I hope that was helpful and at least a little fun. Is that at least interesting? Right? Now, just a quick review. No, I didn't make a final Jeopardy answer. I could come up with one quick if you really want one. It's actually pretty close. That's not really that far off considering the two scores, so you all did really well. I want to take 5 minutes now and just kind of review where we're at. Remember what we've gone through is that Israel, we started on Numbers at the beginning of the Exodus, basically, at Mount Sinai, and then we spent several chapters with their struggles right after Mount Sinai, up until when the spies went to the land, came back, and then God had told Israel, I'm not going to let you enter the land, I'm going to let your children do it, and so you're going to wander for 40 years. And then remember, shortly after that, we jumped ahead 37, 38 years, and now we're at the end of the Exodus. And Israelites starting to move towards the land. And the first place they go is Edom, the last question there, right? Remember, they went to Edom and said, hey, we're brothers, you know, we're related, let us pass through your land. We're not going to drink anything. We're not going to take any of your food. We'll stay on the highway. Just let us pass. And Edom said, uh-uh, not going to happen. And so Israel went around them. And I think the reason they went around them is that God didn't tell Israel that you were going to conquer Edom. That wasn't in God's plan. So they went around Edom. Come to the next place, the Amorites, they say the same thing. You know, let us pass through your land. We'll stay on the highway. Won't eat anything, whatever. They say no. Yeah, and then they actually came and said, "We're gonna stop you. We're gonna be aggressive against you." And God delivered them into their hand. So then Israelite moves to the next nation, and I don't remember the name of the next nation. That was not in my mind. But this nation also comes out against Israel. Israel totally destroys them, including their king, everything. There's nothing left of this nation. So now where Israel's at, they're across the Jordan, right across from Jericho. They've conquered the two nations there. They have the cities to dwell in. Their people are a little bit more safe now. They have places to stay. And so they're getting ready. God's getting them prepared to go in and conquer the land. And what's happening is Balak, now this king who's off to the east, sees Israel, sees their army, and says, this is not good. These people are powerful. They've already conquered these two nations. I need to do something. And so our friend Balak here goes and finds this prophet, Balaam, and says, you come to me, I'll pay you, and you curse this nation so that we can defeat them. And Balaam, who we're going to find out as more we study about him, this guy is kind of a double-minded, double-hearted type of guy. He seems at this point to be seeking out what God wants. Says, I'll go ask God and see what he says about it, and whatever he tells me, that's what I'll do. You find out later he causes a lot of trouble too. He's not full-heartedly for God or against God. But at this case, he's at this point saying, I'm going to go talk to God. God tells him, no, you're not going to go. Tell him to go away. You're not going to go do that. So he told him, nope, God's not going to let me. The messengers went back. The king says, okay, I'm going to send my really important people there. And so Balaam goes back to God and says, I'll go ask him again. And God says, okay, you go with him, but you need to say what I tell you to say. And God puts a condition on, they need to ask you to come along again. And we go to the passage, and it looks like Balaam just took off without waiting for the people to ask him and persuade him to come along. And it seems that either Balaam had in his heart to not do what God said, or he disobeyed there. And so God sends the donkey. So, you know, the donkey sees the angel of the Lord and veers off the path one time and veers up against the wall another time and sits down the third time, saving Balaam's life, but Balaam's mad at the donkey. Then the angel of the Lord appears, and Balaam realizes he's sinned against God, and he says, okay, I'm ready to do what you say. I'll go and I'll say your word. I'll tell them what you have me to say. And so now where we are at the story is Balaam's on his way to Balak to go and be a prophet, but he has in his heart now that he's going to say what God wants him to say. And that's where we're going to see what happens next as he starts to interact with this evil king and get messages from God, and we'll see how that turns out. So that's where we're at there. Israel's on their way into the land, ready to go and conquer the land, and this king is opposing them. He's thinking in like a spiritual way, but he has it wrong. So any thoughts or questions? I know that was quite a quick summary, but I wanted to get our mind back into next week when we go back into studying in the passage. What's that? Well, we're not going to get to Joshua for a while, I don't think. We'll be in Numbers 23, end of 22, and most of 23 next week. Which I actually had halfway prepared, and then I found out we were doing a review week, and so it'll be nice. Next week will be a little easier on my preparation because I got a lot of it done already, but I had to throw together a Jeopardy thing. So, speaking of the Jeopardy thing, you guys enjoyed it with the teen class, right? That was like, I think that was the highlight when I had the teens. It was like, oh, we're doing Jeopardy today. That's cool. So I hope you adults thought it was a little cool, too. It's a little different. It makes us think a little bit different way. Yeah, it was kind of the whole thing. But believe it or not, it was actually really hard to come up with good questions along the way in these categories because I was like, I'm going through going, okay, do I use this guy who nobody's ever heard of or... You know, I mean, again, like the Bible characters, I can't use Moses the whole time, so that kind of throws that out. Anyway, so let's close in prayer, and then you guys can have an enjoyable Sunday afternoon. Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for this time again. We just thank you for kind of this little different method of review, Lord, but hopefully it helps remind us of your word and the truths of your word, and hopefully it brings back to mind the things that we studied. And Lord, we're so thankful for just the example that you set in Israel, Lord. We can look back, see the things they've done right, see the things they've done wrong. And more importantly, we can even connect them to the passages in the New Testament, which you teach us about yourself and about your son, Jesus Christ. Help us to go away from here with your word in our mind and our hearts that we may obey it and do it. We just thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.